It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Actually had a decent day of weather on Saturday. Hope you enjoyed that. Yesterday, not too bad. And shocking, pulled into the parking lot this morning and more flurries. So hopefully this will be the last bit of snow we get this season. Hope everyone remembered to set their clocks forward an hour on Saturday night. I almost forgot. But it was pretty weird yesterday. Look out the window, like 6:45. Sun's still out, which is not a bad thing. So spring is on its way, and what that means is that free agency is on its way as well. And it gets going tomorrow. You can start signing players at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Negotiating period has been going on now for a couple of days. And a lot of news, a lot of rumors. A few more people being cut, and we'll cover some of that and more today on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number if you want to chime in, or you can participate in the conversation on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. All right, here we go. Number one, the Giants did make a move late last week, and that is re-signing Mark Herzlich. I received a couple of concerned tweets from Giant fans saying we can't rely on him to be our middle linebacker. Well, that's true, and I will guarantee you something. The Giants are not trusting Mark Herzlich to be their starting middle linebacker in the fall. So don't freak out about that. He's a special teams guy. He's a depth guy. And that's how the Giants are going to treat him. I know a lot of Giant fans are disappointed that it doesn't look like John Beeson is going to sign before this free agency period starts. If the reports out there are correct, and who knows if they are, but that's what the reports seem to be saying. And I think the bottom line with that is that the Giants are trying to get him at the right price. And John Beeson, like we've talked about much of the offseason, wants to see what other offers he can have and get out there on the market so he can turn those around and bring them back to the Giants and maybe get a little bit more cash out of Big Blue. So I still believe John Beeson will be back, but he wants to test free agency first. The other rumor over the weekend that I thought was interesting is that the Giants were being linked to free agent Titans cornerback Alteron Verner, which to me, if you're going to go out there and spend big in free agency, and this is why I thought Sam Shields was a decent fit for the Giants, it's because he was only 28 years old. Well, Verner, even better. For one, he had a better season last year than Sam Shields. Only 25. Doesn't turn 26 until next December. So he's a young player. Who I want to compare it to is when the Cowboys signed Brandon Carr a couple years ago. He was a cornerback in his mid-20s. A mid-round draft pick that over, based on where he was drafted, you bring him in, he's still going to be in top prime form for another 4 or 5 years. So if you want to spend big on a corner, you bring in a corner that's young. That still has a lot of prime years ahead of him. So I do like the idea of Verner, but I think the cost could be prohibitive. And are the Giants going to go out there and make a splash on a cornerback? Will they then have enough resources to bring an offensive lineman? It's a great question. I don't have the answer to that. I think it would be tough to bring in big-time players at both spots. And make no doubt about it, Verner's going to cost you money. You're talking about $10 million a year. That's what it's going to cost. Minimum. Might be more than that. If Shields at 28, coming off a so-so year, is going to get 4 for 39, guess what? Verner is going to get a Brandon Carr-esque contract like he got from the Cowboys a couple years ago. That's what he's going to get. That's going to be the cost of doing business with a guy who, by most rankings, is a top five or top three free agent at cornerback. He's the youngest of the entire group at just 25. He is going to cost you money. Now, I also believe cornerback is a position of need for the Giants. Besides Prince, we've talked about it. Only Jaron Hosley and Charles James under contract. It's a problem. You got to bring in an extra cornerback and a starting cornerback to play opposite of Prince. I think a guy like Werner can be that guy, but again, it's going to cost money. And if you're going to pay that type of money for a corner, guess what? You're not going to draft one then in the first round. So you can take that out of the mix. And it probably makes it much more likely you'll pick an offensive lineman then in the first round of the draft, because you're probably not going to be able to bring in two or three starting caliber guys if you're going to spend that type of money on Werner. And this is why I've been responding to Giant fans on Twitter the way I have over the weekend. You know, every time someone gets cut loose, and I got one about Antonio Cromartie the other day, go after Cromartie. Now, do I think Cromartie probably has something left? Sure, he's 31, little old for a corner. He had a bad year last year, but he had an excellent year in 2012. Do I think he has something left? Sure. I think he can still play a little bit. I think injuries last year had as much to do with his bad year as age. But Cromartie's a guy you're going to get for cheaper. You're not going to have to pay as much, not to mention the off-the-field problems you get with a guy like him. So I think that's an interesting guy the Giants could take a look at. Cortland Finnegan, another veteran, clearly on the downside based on how he's played in St. Louis. So all these things together I think are interesting in terms of where the Giants are going to spend their money. Because remember, there is a finite amount of money that they can spread around. Where are they going to get the most value for that money? Now, Werner, to me, based on his age, is almost a unique prospect in this free agent class because he's just 25. He played at a Pro Bowl level last year. That's how good he was. He had an excellent, excellent year. 5 picks. Played great. A lot of those picks came early in the season, but he was still very solid, and he was a solid player of the year before in 2012. But that's why Werner is unique, and that's why I could see him being a target. I think it's a good value and a good fit. But again, where does that hinder you elsewhere? Because you can't do everything. But cornerbacks in need, if the Giants want to, you know, make that a big target in free agency, I get it. I don't have a problem with it, and I think Werner, being only 25, is the type of guy you go after. Now, I also want to touch on some of the Akiem Nicks stuff. And the funny thing about Akiem Nicks is that even when he was here, he was confusing. Well, why doesn't he play well? 1 week he says he's 100%. Then he says, I'm not 100%. He looks like his old self. He doesn't look like his old self. Now afraid, say, oh, I'm willing to sign a one-year contract to prove myself. Next day, talks to Josina Anderson. She tweets out, Nicks wants a long-term contract. So confusion still reigning around Akiem Nicks. That being said, I think it's pretty clear, based on what Nicks has said and based on the reports that are out there, and as you guys well know, I've kind of had this opinion all along, I think the odds of Nicks coming back to the Giants is probably very small. Only because of what the market is going to look at and the amount of money he's probably going to get. And here, to me, is the scary thing, folks. And I'll close on this before I get to your phone calls and your tweets. Take a look at the guys who have signed so far and the amount of money they've signed for. A guy like DeQuil Jackson, who got cut, signed for a very, very lucrative contract for a linebacker, 4 years, $22 million. Sam Shields, before he gets to free agency, gets almost $10 million a year. And he was in the meaty part of the curve. You know, one of the better free agent corners, but not, in my opinion, a top three or four guy. He's getting 10. Everson Griffin, defensive end for the Vikings. Did you see the contract he got? The guy had 5.5 sacks last year at defensive end. They gave him a 4-year, $25 million deal. Are you serious? If those are the precursor signs and those truly foreshadow what this free agent group and crop is going to get on the open market, you better break out that wallet. You better be ready to bring the hammer to the piggy bank, because these guys are going to get paid. Paid. And I'm not sure you're going to be able to bring in 2 A-level guys. Like, you might not even be able to bring in 1 A-level guy and a B-level guy at the way these prices are going. What's Tuck and Beasley going to get on the open market? There's so much money on it. And if you have a chance, go back Listen to the interview we did with Jason Cole last Friday. Or was that Thursday? That was last Thursday, I believe. Sorry. There's so much money out there in the free agency market that guys are going to get overpaid, and the Giants are going to have to pony up. Now, that probably means that your best bargains are going to come in that second or third wave of free agency. And I know that's not what Giant fans want to hear. They want those splashes early. They want to make noise. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to be the movers and shakers. And I get why. You were 7-9 last year. You want to make big improvements, especially on offense, considering how bad it was. But with the way these prices are, folks, and with the Giants' resources, right now about $20 million will probably get up to $25 by the time they restructure Chris Snee. He'll probably get close to $30 or $35 if you extend Eli and Roll. We'll see if that happens. But, boy, these guys are not going to come cheap, especially the top-level guys. So everything to consider out there on the free agent market, getting started tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And, boy, there's a lot of money out there. And these guys, these owners, they have to spend it because of that salary floor. And, oh, boy, I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if the Giants are quiet for the first couple days of free agency. I really wouldn't. Wouldn't be shocked. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Give us a call or hit us up on social media. Let's start on the phones and go to Carlos in New York. First, Carlos, you're our leadoff hitter today. What's going on? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Long time. I'm all right. Long time listener. I listen every day. I was just trying to see what's going on with Altuan Verner. If we think we're going to pick up Altuan Verner, I know they're looking at like $10 million a year for a top-notch corner like him, but I like his statistics. What do you think about it?
Hey, look, if you're going to go out there and spend premium money on a player that's not an offensive lineman in free agency, right? Because to me, that's still your number one concern. So if you're going to go out there and choose to spend your resources elsewhere, which I think is a calculated risk, I'm not going to lie. I think you are taking a chance here, spending big money on a corner before you get an offensive lineman, something you really need. That being said, to me, Carlos, Verner is exactly the type of player at corner that you want to target. And the comparison I made at the start of the show was Brandon Carr with the Cowboys. He was a mid-round pick for the Chiefs, the same way Verner, who was a fourth-round pick for the Titans back in 2010. They reach free agency. They're only 25 years old, so they're still in their prime years, should have a lot of prime years left to go. And if you're going to spend money on a corner, you spend money on a corner like that, who's ascending. He's played his best football the last 2 years. He's clearly getting better, and he's still extremely young. So if you're going to spend premium money on a corner, I would much rather spend it on a guy like that than spend it on a guy like Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Do you think that that'll free up, if we picked up something like a corner or whichever free agent position that we target as best value, O-line, linebacker, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But I think that that'll free us up way in the draft. We don't have to worry about these things. I like Justin Gilbert. I would like to have that kind of a playmaker at number 12. I don't know if he's going to be there. But, you know, I also understand that if we free up a few, if we can fill a few positions, it'll free us up where we can be more dynamic in the draft and utilize our picks a little better.
Yeah, Carlos, I agree, and I think that's the whole key to free agency. The last thing you want to do in the draft is paint yourself into a corner and say, boy, if I don't draft X position, we're screwed. That's the last thing you want to deal with, where you're saying, I don't have a starting, you know, right tackle. I don't have a starting guard. If I don't get one in the draft, I'm finished. Because what happens if you get the pick, and just because of the way the draft went, that position isn't a position of value of when you're trying to select. So I think what the Giants need to do is fill as many needs in free agency as they can, so when they get to the draft in May, their hands aren't forced to have to pick a guy at a specific position, so they can stick with their philosophy to pick the best available player.
Right. One more question.
Yeah.
Aaron, I believe his name is Aaron Curry.
Yes.
He's a little defensive tackle. He's a little bit undersized. Do you think that, does he have the ability to potentially move to the outside for a team that's drafted?
Are you talking about a player in the draft?
A player in the draft. I believe his name is
Donald. You mean Aaron Donald, not Aaron,
Aaron
Curry.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald out of Pittsburgh. You know what? He is too short to be a defensive end. He's actually even a little short to be a defensive tackle. But he is a true three-technique defensive tackle. He basically plays the same exact position that Colin Jenkins plays. He's that same exact type of player as Colin Jenkins, to give you an idea.
But can move to the outside for a couple of downs here and there.
I'm not sure if Donald's a guy like Colin Jenkins that can move outside, to be honest with you. The one thing that people have a knock on Donald is his size. He doesn't have the longest arms in the world. He's only about 6 foot, 6 foot and a half inch. So he's not the tallest guy in the world, but he's very active. He's very powerful. Did great at the Senior Bowl, did great at the Combine, had good production in college. So, you know, aside from the height and the size thing, people think he's going to probably be picked around 15 or so. I see him going to the Bears in a lot of mock drafts, and I see him going to the Cowboys in a lot of mock drafts at 14 and 16.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. Great show.
Hey, thanks, Carlos. Appreciate the call, man, and thanks for listening. Call back anytime. 201-939-4513. We're going to go Shakes in Baltimore next. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, man?
You're right, man? It sounds like you had a real long weekend, bro.
Yeah. It was a long weekend, you know, but I just wanted to just, you know, get in on this free agency and Jerry Reese and all this lobby spending. Look, man, I was on Twitter all night and a few Giants fans were really adamant about, you know, we need to bring some talent. And I'm the main person that says that, you know what I mean? Like, we got to spend some money to get some talent in here. We got to. I'm tired of being me, like, mediocre. Like, I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of the 8-8 and the 9-7 records. I want to be a strong team. Now, I know you can't just cripple your team and just go out and just throw money at ex-players, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You got to spend wisely. But Jerry Reese hasn't been spending wisely for a few years now.
Yeah, but Shakes. Let's give him some time here. Free agency hasn't even started yet. So let's not criticize Jerry Reese for not making any moves. He hasn't even, by the rules of the NFL, had the chance to make any moves yet. So let's be a little bit patient and at least let the free agent period start before we start killing Jerry Reese for not making any moves. Yeah.
And I'm not killing him for this season or what's going on that, you know what I mean, because we don't know what he's going to do yet. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying for future, past, you know, instances, he hasn't brought in any great talent that we were like, oh, my gosh, yes. You know what I mean? Like, he hit it on the nose with this one. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say that with Jerry Reese in the past seasons. You can't.
Do you like Archer
like,
role?
Yeah.
Did you like?
Yeah, extra role. Yeah.
Did you like Chris Canty?
Canty was okay.
Did you like Michael Boley?
Boley was okay.
Well, I think those are three pretty big guys that helped you win a Super Bowl back in 2012. No.
Canty, I wouldn't put too much on him. I mean, he was injured the most of that season.
Canty played his ass off in the playoffs that year. He was one of the best Giants defensive players in that playoff run.
He did play good. I mean, I wouldn't say he was the main reason or, you know what I mean, but he definitely did. He helped. And Boldy, yes, he did his thing.
Did you like Colin Jenkins signing from last year? Jenkins had a hell of a year.
Yeah, he did. I liked him, but come on, that for every all those guys that you name, you can name a Aaron Curry, and you can name a who else?
Wait, hold on, Shakes. Time out. You cannot criticize Jerry Reese for signing Aaron Curry. He was your guy. You were begging him to sign Aaron Curry. That's not fair. I'm not letting you get away with that, man.
Wait. I wasn't begging him to sign Curry. I was begging him to sign some linebackers. Bring in some linebackers. And when we brought in Aaron Curry, I thought that was the answer. Okay, finally, y'all brought somebody in. You know what I mean? Help me. You know what I mean? Because I've been screaming linebackers all that off season last year. And you know it. I've been screaming it before the draft. After the season ended, I said, John, we need linebackers. You know what I mean? So Don't act like I said, oh, we need Aaron Curry. I didn't say we needed Aaron Curry. I said we need linebacker.
But, Chase, in fairness, Aaron Curry was a scrap heap, low-risk, high-reward type of player. You know, that was one of those roll-the-dice, take a chance and see. Because they had no money last year. And, look, that in part is Jerry Reese's fault because he didn't manage the cap well enough to have enough money to spend. But it's not like the Giants have been, you know, going into all these seasons with millions of dollars of cap space that they're choosing not to use. They have valuable money invested in Victor Cruz. They have valuable money invested in Eli Manning. They had valuable money invested in guys like Justin Tuck. When OC was here, they were paying him. Guys like David Boss. So, you know, they have spent money, and they have guys, they have money invested in other positions.
That's what I'm saying, though. You're spending all this money on guys like Boss. You bought in, when you bought in Kent, you bought in Bernard for a lot of money, and he ain't deserve that much money. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying, though. He tries to make those moves, but he makes it the wrong way. Like, get some dominant players in here. Not no average, okay, we're going to C-list players, B-list players, we're going to get and give them hella money and hope for the best. No, I want dominant players. If you're going to give somebody some money, give dominant players the money.
Now, Shakes, look. If you're going to criticize Jerry Reese for some of his drafting over the past few years, I'll buy that. And I've talked about that over the course of the year on the show. Especially in the middle rounds, he struggled with some second, third, and fourth round picks. I get that. And it's hard to make that argument when you look at guys like Clint Sintem, Marvin Austin, Ramsey Barden, Travis Beckham. Go down the list. There's a lot of guys, you know, in those drafts that haven't panned out. But honestly, I think Jerry Reese has been much better at bringing in free agents over the years than he has at drafting. For the most part, he's done a pretty good job, in my opinion, in bringing in free agents.
I just don't like his bargain Betty ways, man. I just don't like it. I don't like it. He act like he's spending his own money out of his own pockets, man. Can you please bring me some talent in here, Jerry, if you're listening? Please. Please. We deserve it. The fans deserve it.
Chakes,
thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call, bud.
All right.
Hopefully, Shake survives till 4 o'clock tomorrow without jumping off any buildings. Folks, don't get frustrated yet. You can't even do anything yet. I know you look around and you say, they're not talking about anybody. You know, they're not bringing anybody in. Well, that's not necessarily true. Just because it's not in the papers doesn't mean it's not happening. And the other report I should bring up is that Connor Orr had it yesterday, and somebody else had it earlier in the weekend, too. I can't remember who. Andrew Quarles, apparently the Giants taking a look at him, according to some reports. Now, I like him because he grew up in Brooklyn. Don't like him because he transferred out of Brooklyn to go to high school in Uniondale, Long Island. So that's bad. Leaving Brooklyn to go to Long Island, that's not a good choice for anybody. But, look, Quarles is a guy that got better as the year went along last year. You know, after Finley went out, he had some of his best games later on in the year. I'm bringing up his game log here. His last four games, he had 15 catches. But 12 of those, quite frankly, and not to downplay this, but 12 of those catches came against the Falcons and the Cowboys, which were two of the worst defenses in the league last year in weeks, 15 and 14, it looks like. So, look, Andrew Quarles is a decent player. But let's not, you know, try to make him out to be the next answer at tight end. Because I don't know if Andrew Quarles can be your starter. He can be a solid blocker and do some little things for you, but is he going to give you the production that Martellus Bennett gave you a couple years ago? Heck, is Quarles even going to give you the receiving production that Brandon Myers gave you last year? Never has before. Just to give you an example, folks. He went through a stretch last year, Quarles, of three straight games where he didn't catch a pass. He went through another stretch from November 10th to November 28th. That's weeks 10 through 13 where he caught six passes in 4 weeks for a whopping total of 55 yards. And that was late in the year. So let's, you know, I think Quarles would be a good addition. He'd be good tight end depth, but I'm not sure if he's your answer either or he's going to carry that spot for you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Hi. What's up? John, I got a question for you. Will the Giants re-sign John Beeson, Andre Brown, Josh Brown, Linval Joseph, and Keith Rivers
Okay. I'm going to remember all these this time. Josh Brown, I think, will come back. Andre Brown, I'm thinking no. Keith Rivers, I'd be surprised if he's back, though. If you bring him in at a veteran minimum, I think that's a possibility. And John Beeson, I still believe that he will finally re-sign, but not before free agency starts. He's going to want to see what's out there first, especially since he's representing himself and he's doing this all for the first time on his own. He's going to want to take his time and see what else is out there before he signs back with the Giants. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. I got everybody that time. Got every name. I'm so proud of myself. You have no idea. Bam. Whew. That's how you start off on a Monday morning. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning. How you be?
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Len. How was your weekend, pal?
Actually, went pretty good. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Yeah, it was a good weekend, but I'm ready for some free agency talk here and draft talk. So that's why I called you guys this morning.
What do you got?
Last September, just before the season started, I graded Jerry's off-season work, free agents, draft choices, etc. And let's add to it now, people picked up during the season who are not all pros. Obviously, you don't pick up anybody during the season who's an all pro. And I rated Jerry pretty high. I got killed on Twitter, John. I don't know if you remember that. Guys didn't like my evaluation, but you know what? I'm going to stick with it. I think his free agent work last year was really darn good. I thought the draft was good. I thought the pro personnel people helped a lot as we went through the season picking up guys. Again, you're not going to pick up all pros. You know, the trade for Beeson, for example. I thought he did a pretty darn good job.
Here's the thing, Len, and here's how I look at it.
I'm talking about last year.
Yep.
Let me just confine it to last year.
I got you. Look, I think Brandon Myers probably wasn't the best fit considering his inability to block. I'm not sure if that worked out too well. I think he certainly didn't do a good enough job getting healthy depth at running back, and they probably waited too long to probably bring in a guy at that position to help, so you had to deal with the Brandon Jacobs, the Peyton Hillises, and guys like that who certainly weren't effective enough, I don't think. But again, I think there were some under-the-radar very good signings. You know, how about bringing in Tremaine McBride? People think he's some kind of undrafted rookie. He was a six-year pro that the Giants pulled out of free agency and gave almost starting quality minutes. The trade for John Beeson for a seventh rounder turned out to be an absolute steal.
And Mundy, when we had to play him as a starter, performed pretty well. I mean, these were guys, you know, and the draft, I thought, you know, those first three picks, I mean, there's a future there. Look, we're going to get rid of Linville because our second round draft pick is supposed to be so good.
And frankly, I think his biggest move last year, bringing in Cullen Jenkins in free agency, was probably the best move they made. He played at a Pro Bowl caliber level. They only gave him a 3-year, $11 million contract. That was a very, very good signing. And look, beyond the first two picks last year, and Jonathan Hankins didn't give you a whole lot, you really didn't get much out of last year's draft class. Let's be honest for a second.
But in terms of where we are going into this year, it looks like DeMontre Moore is going to play an important part,
and certainly Hankins
is going to play an important part this year.
Well, Hankins will, yes.
I think those picks, I think we have to think positively about those three picks. I don't know about the quarterback. I'm still struggling with that one. But, you know, and even you get out to Cooper Taylor. I mean, let's see what happens a couple of drafts, you know, a couple of years from now. Let's see where these guys are. I thought that was okay. I just think what happened is that just, I mean, what fell apart was the injuries killed us. I know it's a lot of people want to say it's not not an excuse. And along the offensive line with Bass and Snee, both in the same year going out, look how many centers we played. I mean, we lost one center after another. The blocking was bad with the guys we were, putting in there. Beatty had a bad year also. But, I mean, we got to give some of these guys a chance. You know, we always talk about evaluating a draft 3 years later.
Right. Of course.
I'm beginning to believe myself with something I said a couple of weeks ago, that this is going to start to turn around when we see guys like Mosley and Robinson and Randall and Holesley on defense. I mean, when we begin to see these higher draft choices, second and third round draft choices, perform a little better than we. I think we're going to be 7-9 unless that group of people improves.
Well, Len, I agree. And you know what? It's funny, when Paul Dottino was here last week, he kind of disagreed with that concept and idea. But I happen to agree with you.
Did.
I don't think you have enough. Let me put it this way. I don't think you have enough resources, whether it's draft picks or money in free agency, to bring in enough people to fill all the holes the Giants have successfully unless some of these guys already on your roster, like the Reuben Randles. Look, I can't put that much faith in A.J. Robinson, but if you want to throw him into that group, that's fine. Unless Jaron Hosley, unless, you know, even Jarrell Jernigan, guys like that step in and give you something. You need to get something out of those guys.
Look, between Hicks and Myers, we're talking about 100 catches, more than 100 catches.
You mean Nicks?
Nicks and Myers. 1,400 yards and over 100 catches, John. I mean, you know, I know Myers didn't work out for us, but how are we going to make up 47 catches out of the tight end position? I mean, that doesn't happen overnight. I'm not a calls guy. I mean, Finley's hurt in Green Bay, and they're not chasing calls. I mean, what does that tell us about what Green Bay thinks about calls? I mean, I don't get that either. You know, backup tight end, okay, you know, nice signing, but, I mean, we need starters. I mean, there's no question about that, and that's where I'm saying Adrian Robinson has got to come through. Let me mention something about Werner and even the guy, Jared Allen in Minnesota. You know, there's a reason why the Vikings are paying this defensive end that exorbitant amount of money. I mean, he's ready to play. He's ready to play. He's going to replace Allen. We're going to give the money to Allen, or are we going to give it to Griffin?
Well, Griffin, in fairness, had been playing.
Decided.
Griffin had been playing across from Allen. They, you know, he plays tuck spot, while Allen plays Jason Pierre-Paul spot, theoretically. So they were both playing at the same time. I think the bottom line with Jared Allen, number one, he's over 30. The Vikings are nowhere close to winning now. They're rebuilding. So why give a veteran all that money? And the other thing about Jared Allen, too, Len, is that he's considered to be around the league a bit of a locker room lawyer, which you definitely don't want to have on a young team.
On a young team, right, with a new coach coming in and so forth. Yeah, I agree with that. But Griffin's got some talent. Griffin's been groomed for this. I mean, it's like us with Linville. I mean, we got somebody behind him who can play. Now, let me talk about Werner. I mean, perfect in terms of age, experience. You know, he doesn't fit that, you know, conventional wisdom today about big guy. I don't think he's 190 pounds. But look, Tennessee's not going to let this guy walk if he can really, really play. They got a guy, a draft choice from last year behind him from Connecticut. I can't pull back the name. I want to say Ray with a W, W-R-E-H, and I think it's a hyphenated name. I can't quite pull it back. But they think this kid can play. So Werner goes. But how, the guys down in Tennessee are thinking the same thing about Werner. He's young, you know, he's got good size. He can tackle.
Are you talking about that the bleedy Ray Wilson guy? I think he was a draft pick for them last year. Okay.
Right. I think he was a third or a fourth.
Yeah, correct.
For them last year.
Right.
I mean, they think of him very highly. They're not going to play Werner that kind of money. Why are we paying him that kind of money?
Well, I mean, but Len, here's the thing. I mean, they're in the same situation with Werner that the Giants are with Linval Joseph. So if you're another team, the Giants are letting Linval Joseph go, not because he's not a great player, but because they have a younger, cheaper guy they can replace him with. And I think the Titans are in the same exact situation with Werner.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that Werner's not a bad player. It just means that they have a ready replacement to go in there and step in for him early.
But I don't want to go the $10 million route, John. Not for Werner.
Hey, look, Len, and look, if there's one red flag with Werner and you brought it up, it was a good pickup, and I should have brought it up when I talked about him earlier in the show. He is only 5'10". He's only 187 pounds. He's not that big corner that you would want across from Prince Amukamara. But the age I do really like.
I'll tell you, though, he'll stick you if you try to come around his side.
Nah, he's physical. There's no question.
Tackle.
Yep.
He will tackle. I think we'll like him for that, you know. I just don't think he's worth that kind of money. I think we draft a D-back. I think that's the way to go. These free agent defensive backs, I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, they get paid a lot of money.
And you see them getting cut. I mean, Cox in San Diego, Carr in Dallas. I mean, and Tennessee giving up on Verner.
And Courtland Finnegan.
I don't want to say give up, but you know what I'm talking
about.
Well,
Antonio Cromartie, Courtland Finnegan, all these guys.
I mean, we're paying them all this. I mean, the way to go with defensive backs is draft.
I agree with you. I would do it too.
Maybe not with safety. Maybe not with safety, but at the corner. I mean, you know, if Denard or Gilbert, I mean, take your pick. Pick one out of the hat, whichever one you want. I don't care. I'd like one of those two guys. I'm leaning toward one of those two guys at number 12. Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Len. Good stuff as always, my friend. 201-939-4513. Let's get back local and say hello to Gino in Queens next. Gino, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, Gino.
All right. I wanted to say, you know, a couple things. Thanks to the Giants organization for bringing me 2 Super Bowls in my lifetime. Some people don't even get one, so I appreciate them for that. And every championship team always should get a chance to rebuild. And, you know, we're in the rebuilding phase, so I'm not really mad at that. I want to ask you, how do you feel about the cap situation being so good? You know, for years we've been down with the money. Now the money's where it's supposed to be, and we're getting a little relief. You know, how you feel about that?
Well, Gino, Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hold up. Is it a stretch to give Maurice Jones-Drew a 1-year deal and Kenny Britta or Sidney Rice a 1-year deal? Because you know these guys are not going to get paid the money they want. So a lot of these guys are trying to go on a 1-year deal. You think it's a stretch?
I will start with your players first. Sidney Rice doesn't get me excited. To me, he's a one-dimensional player that's kind of lost his speed a little bit. I wouldn't go after him. I would be intrigued, honestly, if you can get Maurice Jones-Drew on a 1-year deal here, and he's your veteran running back you bring in, and you don't have to break the bank for him, and you give him like a, you know, almost like a 1-year tryout, I'd be willing to do something like that. I don't think that's a bad fit. As for Kenny Britt, I think you'd have to do a ton of homework on him. I mean, he has so many issues off the field, and we're not even talking about minor things. We're talking about serious stuff that Kenny Britt's been involved in. I mean, is it going to help him to come back home to New Jersey, or is it going to hurt him to come back and maybe be with some of these bad influences that he grew up with? So you would have to do a lot of work on Kenny Britt. I think you look at him because he's really talented, but I think the off-the-field stuff is a little scary. As for the rebuilding thing that you mentioned, I wouldn't consider this a rebuilding. I'd consider it a retooling. A rebuild to me would be you lose your starting quarterback. As long as you have Eli Manning here,
you're not rebuilding,
you're more retooling.
All right. All right, and do you think we should, like, we shouldn't spend too much money and just go into the draft and see what we get and hold some of the money for next year? Because, you know, next year might be a bigger market and more people. Should we hold some of that money and not try to jump out the window and waste everything we got again?
Well, I certainly wouldn't spend the money on a player that I don't think can be an impact player and help me. I wouldn't spend for the sake of spending. But that being said, I think there are enough free agents on the market here, and the Giants have so many needs, Gino, that they have to use as many resources as they can to fill out the roster this year. It's going to be another 7-9 or even worse, a 6-10 or 5-11 season. I don't think the Giants are in a position where they can save money for next year. Now, there's an issue, too, next year. What happens if JPP comes back as a monster season? What happens if Prince takes one more step forward to being a shutdown corner? Both those guys are free agents next year. You're going to have to figure out a way to pay them. So you do have to keep that in mind looking forward. So I wouldn't spend willy-nilly here and screw up the salary cap for years to come, but I would definitely utilize as many resources as possible this offseason considering how many needs you have.
Who would you like us to draft? Who would you like see the first round pick? Who would you like to see the Giants go with?
Well, I want to wait until we get through free agency first to see what positions they fill there. I think here are some options that I'll give you, guys that I like depending on what the Giants' needs are. I like Justin Gilbert. I like Darquez Denard, not quite as much as Gilbert, but I like him too. I'm a big fan of Eric Ebron. I know I like him probably a little bit more than other Giant fans do. I think he could be a two-way starting tight end in this league for 10 to 12 years. I think he's excellent.
That's a position that we need to chase. You're right.
I think if Mike Evans is there at 12, though, more and more it looks like he's going to go in the top 10. I think you would consider him in that spot. Even the wide receiver is not a huge need. C.J. Mosley is somebody you can take a look at, especially if John Beeson doesn't come back. Even if he does come back, I think you could put Mosley at the will linebacker spot and be okay. And finally, the last guy I'd say you look at, assuming Jake Matthews and Greg Robinson are off the board at tackle, I think Taylor Lewan is a guy you could pick at 12. And if he's gone, you could trade back and maybe take a guy like Zach Martin out of Notre Dame.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, guys. You guys have been great today.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Gino. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. And again, let's not say who the Giants are drafting in the first round until we know who they have in free agency first. Because I could say, boy, I'd love to have Justin Gilbert in round one. Then what happens if they go out there and sign out Teron Verner? Then no, I would not draft Justin Gilbert in round one. That'd be stupid. Because you're dedicating too many resources to one position when you have a lot of other spots that you need to fill. So we need to see what happens in free agency first. And I think these next couple days are going to start getting crazy and fun, to be quite honest with you. Truthfully, though, my attention is split. I'm not going to lie. I got NFL free agency here, and I got Phil Jackson over here. So I'm balancing a little bit. Not going to lie. But it should be certainly a lot of fun. 201-939-4513. Stick on the phones. Mike is in Big D. Mike, what's going on down in Dallas today?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Mike.
Hey, you know what? Just kind of, first of all, I need to talk about Aaron Curry for a quick second. Let's don't talk about Aaron Curry no more. He didn't make the team, so he's pretty much irrelevant.
Yes. Aaron Curry is irrelevant. That is true.
But you know what, though? As far as Verner goes, I'd rather just, you know, save that money, maybe go get a tight end and a guard, and hopefully draft, you know, get the kid from Oklahoma State, whatnot. You know, you can't build a team on picking up corners. When's the last time a free agent corner went to a team and had a great, great year? I mean, can you think of one?
That's actually a really good question. What's the last free agent cornerback? I mean, Darrelle Revis, I guess, was a trade, so that doesn't count. Antonio Cromartie played really well for the Jets when they signed him as a free agent. Let me think.
But, there's no superstars that, you know, come out or, you know, really good ones. Osmoah was terrible.
Brandon Carr's been a disappointment. Retired. Finnegan's been a disappointment. Yeah, you know what? You're right. A lot of times you give the cornerbacks all this money, and a lot of times you cut him after 2 years and his contract's not even halfway over. That's fair.
So, you know what? I'd rather just save the money. I know he's young, but you know what, though? I don't want him getting fat and happy. I'd rather go draft somebody hungry and, you know, I mean, let's concentrate on maybe getting, like, you know, if we can't get the tight end that we want in the draft, let's go, you know, let's get Chandler or someone like that from Buffalo, someone that's good at everything but not great at anything.
Right.
I just don't want to spend a ton of money on a position like that because, you know, more often than not, it doesn't work out. So that's all I really want to say, and, you know, tell me what you think.
No, Mike, it's fair, and I've said since the beginning of this process I'd be very leery buying a cornerback in free agency, because generally speaking, cornerback prices are inflated. There are a few premium positions in the league that guys always get, I believe, overpaid at in free agency. Quarterback is obviously one. Cornerback, to me, is obviously one. Offensive tackle is another, and defensive end is a fourth. If you're a pass rusher, pass protector, if you're covering wide receivers or you're the quarterback, you're going to get probably more money than you're worth in free agency. And many times, those positions are much more easily filled through the draft than they are in free agency. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call, buddy. And I think, you know, you can even throw wide receiver into that, too, to a certain extent. Big-time wide receivers on the free agent market can get paid probably a little bit too much. Like, honestly, does anybody not think Eric Decker is going to get overpaid? Seriously. He's going to get overpaid. He's going to get paid like a number one. He's not a number one. Mike Wallace got overpaid a couple years ago. Not a number one, got paid like a number one. I think that's going to happen with Knicks this year. I'm not sure he's the number one receiver anymore. He still thinks he does. That's nice. You haven't shown it for a year and a half. 201-939-4513. And Shakes admitted exactly what I thought. Very sleepy this morning. Had his girl wake him up to go on BBK. Hashtag dedication. We appreciate that, Shakes. Good work. Seemed a little weary. I got him going, though. But halfway through that conversation, once I started yelling about Aaron Curry, I could see the blood pressure started to rise a little bit. The adrenaline started to flow. He got into the phone call. 201-939-4513. Dennis is up in Plattsburgh, New York. Dennis, what's going on up in Plattsburgh?
It's still freezing up here.
What is it, about 10 degrees, 12 degrees, something like that?
I didn't look, but it snowed. I mean, that's enough for me.
Permanent snowfall in lovely Plattsburgh. Now, you guys are like right by the Vermont border, right?
We're just west of Vermont, and we're just south of Montreal.
Got it.
Where I am. Yeah.
What else you got for me this morning?
Oh, a couple of things.
Yeah.
And actually, my mind just keeps changing as people talk, as I'm listening to this conversation. I lose my initial thought. But going back to Lynn a little bit and about last year's draft, the one thing that jumps out at me is that it was a mixed story. He's optimistic, and that's good. But it was a mixed story. I thought that in free agency and draft, the Giants did fairly well in the defensive, on the line, actually. Their focus was the line, the defensive line, and they did very, very well at it. They failed miserably in the offensive line, though.
That's true.
And there was only so much, there was as much need just about on the offensive line. It wasn't as obvious, but there was as much need there. And
well, Dennis, I think you hit it on the head. I think there was need on the offensive line, but that wasn't recognized by the front office or, frankly, most of the people covering the team. I didn't hear a lot of people bring up the offensive line last offseason, and I'm included in that. I don't think people realized, how difficult it would be for guys like Snead and Boss to come back healthy next year. And I think people probably put too much faith in two older guys coming off of injuries, giving the Giants 16 games. And once those guys were hurt and they couldn't play, they found themselves in a huge hole. And yes, if you want to put that on the front office, you can feel free. You can put that on the front office. And Jerry Reese said as much at the end of the year that they screwed up and did not secure the offensive line position as much as they should have.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, when they were 0-6, or when they were going through the 0-6 period, the comments were fast and furious about who's responsible for this, who's responsible, and Gilbride was being attacked, Jerry Reese, a lot of different ways to think about why this was going wrong, but it was like a mix. I thought, anyways, it was a mix of schemes where it required healthy, effective, mobile people to actually man the offensive line, with Gilbride's schemes. And Jerry Reese hadn't really put those kinds of players into place to do that. Now, that's what I thought at the time. I thought it was kind of a combination of scheme and front office, providing. And then Kevin Gilbride says, I saw this coming years ago, He says, I could see this thing, starting to happen. It wasn't when it was going to be, it wasn't if, it was going to be when. You remember that, or him saying that recently?
Yeah, he came out, I think it was last Thursday, he was the type of event or a gala or a charity thing, and he said, look, I warned them that, the talent was waning a bit on offense. Now, I think part of that is Kevin Gilbride probably trying to cover himself up a little bit and defending, his track record from last year. And, what happens in the NFL, and it's with every franchise, the coaches say the players we had weren't good enough. And then the front office says, well, we gave you the players, you guys didn't coach them well enough. So it's always a back and forth between the free agents and the coaches as to whose fault these things are. But in fairness, if Kevin Gilbride did tell them that in, meetings that we need to bring in younger guys, we need to rebuild the offensive line, the front office didn't do it, then I think he makes a very fair point.
Yeah, yeah. Next, I want to try and get through quickly and get off, but Knicks. I know I'm doing magical thinking here, but I would love to see somehow all of this, whatever has gone on in his head. I think, I don't think it's like a permanent character flaw for the guy. I think he's made some terrible decisions. I think he behaved really badly, but I remember, we all can remember the relationship that he had with Eli on the field and the way they were so good. And all I'm saying to myself is, why can't we have that back? What does it take to get that back rather than to move forward and lose this whole thing? And I guess, and let me flavor this thing a little bit. A couple of years ago, I read an article about Hakeem Nicks and his background. the way he was raised, the kind of life that he was growing up. And he was basically a homeless kid for often, let's just say. And you know, there was drug abuse. There was all kinds of stuff in his life. Well, he emerges, and he makes it to the pros. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you just don't come out of that kind of environment without, you know, like people will say, the guy doesn't have any character now. And I will say, well, you know what? I think his history is coming and sneaking up and biting him on the ass a little bit. What do you think?
Well, you know, Dennis, my take on Knicks, and I've said it on the show before, I don't really think it was a matter of him not trying last year. Now, at times, did he give up on some routes and things of that nature? Yeah. But I think Knicks' problems are much more physical than they are mental. Remember all those leg injuries that he had at the start of his career, whether it was the broken foot, whether it was the knee, whether it was the hamstring, and you can go up and down the list. I think all those injuries finally caught up with him, and he's lost some of his explosiveness. Now, might he be able to get that back somehow? Sure. But I just don't see the superior athleticism from Knicks the last year and a half that I saw from him his first 3 years in the league. And to me, if I'm a team looking at him on game tape, that would scare the hell out of me.
I've watched his highlights. You know, it's on YouTube, and so you watch his entire career highlights.
Right.
And what I recognize is he's not getting a lot of separation. He's just winning battles over and over again. And Eli is throwing some of it, of his, you know, some of them are really accurate. Some of them are erratic. Hicks is just grabbing everything. He's snatching them like a flypaper, you know, out of the air. And it wasn't so much that he was getting separation as he was just really good at fighting, you know, these little battles with the secondary, the defensive secondary. That's what I see.
Yeah, well, look, that still is athleticism, though. That's still strength. That's still explosion to the football. Those, you know, might not be flat-out straight-line speed, but that still is athleticism that, you know, and adjusting to the ball in midair, that's, you know, quick twitch movement, things like that, which injuries can curtail a little bit. Dennis, I appreciate the call, bud.
Hey, okay.
Have a good one. And look, I still think Nick's got more separation early in his career than he's gotten the last two seasons. I really believe that. I mean, look, he made some really big plays down the field. He was getting separation on those plays his first 3 years. He was. These weren't all jump balls where he's like Anquan Boldin pulling away from people. He was running away from guys. Now, I'm not saying he's Randy Moss, but he was getting separation, and we didn't see any of that last year. Spare a couple of plays. 201-939-4513. Jabbar is down in Atlanta, Georgia. Jabbar, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
This is John, Jabbar. What's going on? How are you?
John. What's up, John?
I'm doing all right, bro. How are you? It's all right, man. It's early. It's okay.
Yeah, man, I'm doing pretty good. But that last call was a perfect segue into my question.
Yeah.
Well, my statement, actually. I actually wanted to say that the state of the roster right now, it is in flux. And I think it's because the Giants as a whole were transitioning from a power run team to a kind of West Coast pass happy attack team.
Well, I wouldn't call it a West Coast pass team, but it definitely was a down the field big play offense as opposed to the ground and pound offense that they had in, you know, 07 and 08 for sure.
Right. And I think that the X factor in all of that was the loyalty to the players on offense coming from the power run scheme. And I felt like we didn't, you know, kind of change the personnel fast enough. We kind of stuck with those guys who were kind of better at run blocking or more, you know, more big play type receivers and you know, bruising backs instead of transitioning to route runners quickly and you know, like more athletic linemen and things of that nature, but also the players who we did bring in that fit the scheme of a you know, big play pass offense. I don't think we scouted them well enough because our coaches weren't used to evaluating those types of players. So we brought in all of these athletic linemen, these athletic wide outs, you know, with freakish heights, but they didn't have the skill set that, you know, people would normally need in that type of offense.
Well, in fairness, though, I mean, Jabbar, it did work. I mean, you transitioned to that big play passing attack in 2011, You had Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz making plays all over the place. I mean, that for that season, I mean, Eli Manning had the best year of his career. The ball was flying down the field. It worked. I think what happened is that the offensive line got old, and the front office didn't anticipate them getting as old as quickly as they did. And that is what really, I think, set the Giants back a lot last year, is that they didn't have guys in-house through the draft available to replace those aging free agent those aging offensive linemen that were either hurt or retired.
True. And another statement I want to make, too, is on the defensive side of the ball with DeMontre Moore. I watched every single snap that Moore took. Someone posted a YouTube clip of every snap he took from the defensive line spot. And he just seems like he doesn't shed blocks. He's quick off the line. You know, he can turn the corner, but once he gets engaged on a block, it seems like he never gets off. And that makes me want to think that defensive end is maybe a high priority again for this season, which makes it, I guess, the third year in a row that, you know, that we have to really get the defensive end spot in order. Because I don't think Moore is the answer.
Well, Jabbar, in the future. Much like you, I went back and I watched every snap he took on defense this year, DeMontre Moore. I watched every single one. And much like you, I came away very unimpressed. I didn't see a second gear. I didn't see him, you know, shed blockers like you said. But I'm not willing to give up on him after just one season. He needs to dedicate himself in the weight room in the offseason. He needs to put on 15, 20 pounds of muscle. And then I want to see how he plays next year with the year under his belt. If this year he shows the same issues he had as a rookie, then I'll be on board with you to say, you know what, maybe he's not going to work out. But I want to give him a chance to mature a little bit, become a professional, you know, transform himself into an NFL-caliber athlete with, you know, that type of body. And then I want to see how he plays. Because to me, and I said this last year before the season started, DeMontre Moore was not ready to be an NFL player last year. That's why when he was projected a first-round pick, he dropped to the third round because he was not ready to be an NFL player. He needs to be ready in year number two, and if he's not, then you're right. Defensive end becomes a huge priority for the Giants. I'm with you.
All right, thanks, John. I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a great day over there.
Hey, thanks, Jabbar. Appreciate you calling. I haven't heard from Jabbar in a while. Jabbar used to call from Atlanta fairly often. I haven't heard from him in a while. Good to hear from Jabbar. 201-939-4513. We got three more calls on the line. We're going to take them, then we're going to say goodbye. Let's say hello to John in New Jersey. John, what's going on?
Hey, morning, guys. What's going on?
Good morning, Johnny. How are you, pal?
Hey, pretty good, man. I just wanted to touch on a little bit of free agency. I guess what would you guys rather get, a linebacker or an offensive line?
I think you need to get at least one big-time offensive lineman. I think it's also important to bring back John Beeson. I don't want to, you know, poo-poo that. But if you told me, would I rather bring back John Beeson? Like, if I could only do one thing in free agency, this isn't the case, but if we played this game and I can only do one thing in free agency, bring back John Beeson or bring in a top-notch offensive lineman, I'm bringing in a top-notch offensive lineman.
Really? Okay. I think I would go for Beeson, too, but I see the Giants are bringing in players from, like, was it McClain from Ravens, and he doesn't really look like much of a production guy, so I was a little worried about that.
Yeah, to me, Jameel McClain is a guy that's a filler. He's an average starter at best. He'll give you some depth. But to me, he's nothing to get too excited about.
Yeah, I was more excited about different linebackers in the free agency, like Woodyard or, you know, some of the other guys that are out there. Not McClain so much.
No, I'm with you. I do think Beeson is their number one priority to bring back. I think best case scenario, that's who they want.
Yeah, and I'm touching on the last call. DeMontre Moore, even though, you know, I think this is his second year, I think this is when he's going to show us more of what he's got. But how many blocks did he have last year on special teams? Like two, three?
I believe he had two official blocks. He deflected a third, and then he might have had one in preseason. But you know what? And I watch those plays. I know fans get very excited about them. Quite honestly, those blocks were the results of bad plays by protection people a lot more than it was dynamic plays by DeMontre Moore. If you have a chance, go back, look at the plays. Basically, DeMontre Moore runs in a straight line, Nobody gets in his way, and he has a free run to the punter. He doesn't make anybody miss. He's not putting on any swim moves or anything like that. He kind of just goes straight, and people get out of his way. So while they are big showby plays, he really didn't do anything that spectacular to make them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not for sure. Do you know if they still have, Ojomo or something like that on the practice squad? He was a pretty good guy last year. I was surprised they didn't keep him on the roster.
Ojomo signed with somebody else I think he's on somebody else's practice squad or active roster. Was it St. Louis, Tennessee, something like that? I don't know. He's with somebody else. Here's the problem with Ojomo. I know he showed a lot in those preseason games against third and fourth stringers. He was not a very good practice player. The coaches were very unimpressed with what he did in practice, and when they did set him up against some players with better talent, he just didn't give them that type of production that they were looking for.
Oh, okay. All right, well, hey, man, hope to get Beeson.
I appreciate the call, Johnny.
All right, have a good one.
You too, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on?
Good question. Beeson or the really good free agent offensive lineman? I think I would go for the offensive lineman, but I always think, well, what if we had Beeson from the start of the season? We probably would have maybe made the playoffs. But I just want to mention some free agents real quick. Jerry Reese signed, Plexico Burris, the big guy on the offensive line. I forget his name now, that played right guard for a real long time.
Kareem McKenzie was right tackle.
Right tackle.
Right.
And two keys to their Super Bowl win, Plexico, Kareem McKenzie, Hedgehog, the fullback. So there was a few that he brought in.
Hedgehog you're talking about.
Yep. He brought in defensive backs like McQuarters, you know, guys that were near the end of their career, but they still, Sam Madison, that you could still squeak a year or two out.
I think Kareem McKenzie was an Arnie Accorsi signing, not a Jerry Reese signing, and I think Madison and McQuarters probably were too. But I get your point. They have made some good free agent additions in the past, Andrew. I agree.
And they don't overpay. You know, they pay a lot, but they don't overpay. So they do pretty well, I think, with the free agents. Like, they play it perfect, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that they hit perfectly or they choose, but they play it perfect, where they're willing to spend the money, but they don't go crazy like the guy in Washington, you know, where they break the bank on one player. Speaking of Jerry Reese, I just thought with the exchange back with the offensive coordinator, Gilbride, it was a little low class. Like, I expected more out of the Giants. But I guess, and I didn't so much think of it as a cheap shot by saying it was time for a change, Reese said. That's not, you know, a big cheap shot. But the narrative was that he was supposed to be retiring, so that kind of contradicts the story that they put out there that he was retiring. And I think Gilbride, he was a small percent of the problem. It was probably 95%, 98% the injuries and the wide receivers not being good enough, the tight end not acclimating. But one play that I was furious when the Dallas game, when the season's on the line, and I was listening to Francesa, and he was saying, well, sometimes Eli audibles out of a run, but it was an empty backfield, and it was like a 3rd and 8 in the second half. They needed the first down, and Eli's not a running quarterback. So to have an empty backfield, and Coughlin approved it, that's crazy because Eli's, if you had like a running quarterback, but I just, you know.
Andrew, on a 3rd and 8, I don't think there's much of a threat of a run in that spot. Now, if you catch somebody in a defense, you can change to a running play if you wanted. You can, you know, shift somebody back into the backfield if you want to do that. But I can't get too upset in a 3rd and 8 if you want to run an empty backfield and spread out the defense. I don't think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. And just like also for blitz pickup, like it's good to have a running back with a shaky offensive line, so it's good to have a running back to help pick up the blitz. And then Eli's not a, you know, like a happy feet in the pocket. But I think that Gilbride was an excellent coordinator overall, and he should have. Another knock is he didn't maybe adjust soon enough to the bad offensive line and go to more of a West Coast style of play, like quick strike passes. But I forgot what my final point was.
That's all right, Andrew.
Len from Maryland last year before the season, he said the defensive tackles were going to be great and they're going to punish people, and they were. And that's the difference, is that they were healthy and the offensive line was injured. And I could even see in preseason when the line had its starters, and you say, oh, preseason doesn't matter. But if you never saw a football game in your life and you clicked onto it, you could see that the Giants, the big guys in the front, aren't pushing the other team's big guys.
That's true.
To allow the guy that runs with the ball. So it's all about the offensive line and staying healthy. And I'm excited about the draft and the free agency upcoming.
Andrew, thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Our final call of the show, all the way in the United Kingdom, in Manchester, England, is Mike. Mike, what's going on, buddy? Good morning. Or I guess good afternoon
to you, man.
For you guys.
How you doing?
I guess what, evening, afternoon out there? What time is it?
It's afternoon here. It's 2:35 right now.
Nice. How is it going in the UK? What's the weather like out there, my man?
Well, man, it's sunny today. You wouldn't believe it. It was 60 degrees yesterday.
Oh.
Nice clear skies, blue skies. Yeah, it's going to be getting warmer as the week goes on, too.
Making me jealous, Mike. You're making me jealous.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, man.
What do you got for me today, bro?
I want to talk about – all this talk about the offensive schemes and making changes. The defense also has to make changes as well. I mean, last year, as you know, we couldn't get to the quarterback in the first half of the season.
That's true.
You know, the defense is going to – and we have no idea what the defensive line – is going to look like this year. JPP's hurt. We don't know if Tuck's coming back. We're going to have to answer some questions in the defensive line. So I don't want everyone to think that, you know, it's just the offense alone we're going to be making. So we have to get home to the quarterback, or else we're in trouble again. We can't get up the field a third down. We're going to lose a lot of games.
Well, Mike, what I think the Giants, and, you know, maybe they'll be proven to be wrong that this is not a right decision, but I think they're really depending on Jason Pierre-Paul to have a big-time bounce-back year, and I think they're hoping that they can get a lot more pass pressure out of him.
You don't think they're going to bring a veteran in or something? If he can't get Tuck back?
If Tuck leaves, I think they'll probably bring in somebody to play defensive end. I think I wouldn't go into next season with my top three defensive ends being JPP, Kiwi, and Demontre Moore. I think you got way too many question marks. But let me put it this way. I think you'll either have the same exact group you had last year at defensive end, or you'll have the same group with a different veteran replacing Justin Tuck. It'll be one of those two situations.
Okay. Well, keep our fingers crossed and hope Jerry can do something, man.
Mike, call anytime. We know we got a big fan base out there in the UK. We appreciate your guys' support out there. Thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem, man. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. See, this is how well Dan Salmon has gotten to know me now. This is how well he's gotten to know me. He writes down, Mike in Manchester, UK, wants to talk about the Giants offense. And then in parentheses he goes, no accent. Oh, man, he knows how much I love the British accent. So, see? And it's stuff like this. This is why Dan Salmon's going to make his Big Blue Kickoff debut later on in the week. It's because of stuff like that. He's all over it. So if you like his stuff on Giants.com, one of our great writers, him and Michael Eisen, of course, do a fantastic job writing on the website. Dan will be making his Big Blue Kickoff debut later on in the week. Maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. I got to see what my schedules look like, so I might have to fly out to Pittsburgh on Wednesday morning for college basketball game. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back with you. I'll be joined by Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. He'll join us basically off the top of the show after my open to try to give the Giant fans a bit of a preview of free agency, see what he's hearing around the league in terms of what the Giants might be doing, what their priorities are, and what action you might have the first couple of days in free agency. Hopefully I'll be here on Wednesday. If not, I'll have either Dettino or Lance to come in and help me out. Maybe I'll have Dan help out on one of those shows with one of those two guys. So, everybody, thanks for joining us. Great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter as well. I've responded to some of your tweets during the show, and if any more come in, I'll reply to them after the show as well. Thanks for joining us. One more day till free agency. The Giants can start signing players 29 hours and 15 minutes from now. That's some pretty quick math, by the way. It's pretty impressive. 29 hours and 15 minutes from now, the Giants can start signing some free agents, or maybe 29 hours and 19 minutes. Like, clock's a little fast here. So, it's coming. I'm just asking for a little bit more patience. Before I close, let me just say this. Phil Jackson, I was never a fan. I hated you coaching the Bulls. Hated you coaching the Lakers. Your facial expressions on the bench drive me nuts. I think you're a good coach. I think you're a little overrated. You happen to team up with some great talent. All that being said, I'm begging you, save the Knicks from Jim Dolan. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow morning.